Coming up on the Hockey News pregame show, it's our trade deadline special. We've got all the winners and the losers.
Vegas with a moonshot move, getting Thomas Hertl from the Sharks.
And we go live to our various team site editors.
I'm Ryan Kennedy.
I'm Michael Trakos, and this is the Hockey News pregame show, brought to you by BetMGM and NorthlandHockey.com. Welcome to the Hockey News pregame show. I'm Michael Trakos. With me, as always, is Ryan Kennedy. And Ryan, the dust has finally settled. Trade deadline day has come and it is gone. So if you got any complaints, you take it up with the GMs right now. Let's go through our winners and losers, because this is always fun. Obviously, the true winners or losers aren't going to be known until we get to the playoffs. If you don't get into the playoffs, you might be a losing team here, because there's a lot of bubble teams that made some picks. However, you know, as we've seen time and time again, the winning team doesn't always make the biggest splash on trade deadline day. Yeah. With that, I'll give you the floor. Who is your top winner when we look at the trade deadline?
All right, well, I'm going to go splashy. You were totally right. It's not always the biggest move that pays off in the end. But Vegas getting Thomas Hertl, it was like a last-second Hail Mary trade that came together between the Golden Knights and San Jose Sharks. But for Vegas to add another star player to its top six, I mean, it's basically got to be a top nine, really, at this point. They have so many good forwards. But to add Thomas Hertl, who has been incredible for a very bad Sharks team. Like, if you look at his analytics and his numbers, they're great considering his circumstance. So to add him to a lineup that, when healthy, you've already got Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault. So, I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, this is a great team. They are the defending champs. The fact that they could pull it off is miraculous, so full points there.
Speaking of which, if the Golden Knights go back-to-back this year and win another cup, does Mark Stone's ruptured spleen, does it win the Conn Smythe?
Ooh.
Because, you know what, if you're not on LTR...
Right. It all doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. So they are gaming the system here, aren't they?
Hey, they are playing the system as well as you can. Don't hate the player, hate the game, as they said 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. Well, a team that has mastered gaming the system, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they are my big winner. And they didn't make the big splashy moves, but they ended up with Matt Dumba for pennies on the dollar. And
Anthony Duclair.
Two, like I said, not the biggest pieces out there, but definitely pieces that are going to help a team that right now is a wild card team. This is going to come in big, I think, in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you look at Tampa's blue line, they needed bodies because they were, you know, Mikhail Sergachev obviously hasn't been around, so I'm with you. That was a nice one. And Duclair was great for Florida last year in the playoffs, so going over to Tampa, I think he can have the same kind of impact.
Who else you got as your winner?
All right, so my other one is the Florida Panthers, Anthony Duclair's former team twice removed.
There you go.
Vladimir Tarasenko, obviously that wasn't on deadline day, but it was just before that. Again, you look at a scary top six.
Yeah.
And then adding Kyle Okpozo, the former captain of the Buffalo Sabres, feel-good guy, culture guy, depth guy. Panthers didn't need much.
Yeah.
But I thought they did very well in what they got.
More toughness for a team that's already plenty tough. For my other winner, I like the Nashville Predators. I don't think Nashville is going to win a Stanley Cup. I don't even think they might get past the first or second round this year. But you know what? This is a reward, getting Anthony Beauvillier and Jason Zucker for a team that's been red hot of late and looks like they're going to be contending for a playoff spot. So good on Barry Trotz for, you know, there was all this talk about, will they trade UC Saros? Will they sort of be a seller or at least stand pat? You know, he's rewarding his troops, and I love that.
Right on.
All right, let's move on to the losers, because you can't have a winner without a loser, obviously, Ryan.
It's true. It's contact sport.
There you go. Who do you got as your number one loser? And again, things can change. What we think is a loser right now might be the right decision on maybe not going all in or what have you.
Yeah.
Curious to see what you've got here.
I'm going with the San Jose Sharks. You know, GM Mike Greer, he's a young GM, and I just feel like retaining salary on Thomas Hertl for 6 years and giving up your best player and, you know, a decent return, but like I just felt like they didn't cash in the way they could have. And, you know, the Sharks, they could be radically different next year because they could get Max Celebrini number one overall, and he could have a pretty good impact. They've been without Logan Couture basically all year.
Isn't that why you need a Thomas Hertl? So the young guys can learn from an experienced veteran.
The connective tissue.
Yeah, he's still effective. It's not like this guy's past his prime.
No, and it's not like he's a rental. Like, he's a long-term contract. It felt like I didn't see the motivation for trading Thomas Hertl. Unless Thomas Hertl, who seems like the nicest guy in the world, was like, get me out of here right now. I don't see that happening. So to me, it was just like, I don't see the motivation for losing Thomas Hertl.
Okay, this is a lukewarm loser for me. Again, this might be the right move for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but, you know, they didn't go all in. And when you've got Austin Matthews flirting with 70 goals, I don't think he's going to get 70 goals anymore, but still, you've got that firepower with Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, and Riley. I don't know why you didn't beef up the defense more than they did. I don't know why you didn't go for a splashier move, especially when you consider every team around them seemed to be going all in. Now, the saving grace is they hang on to their first-round pick. They still got Nick Robertson. They still got Easton Cowan. Fraser Minton is still there, and Matt Nyes. But again, you got all this talent. Why aren't you going all in? Like the Vegas Golden Knights, every year they go all in.
Right, yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed in there.
It's an arms race, and it felt like, yeah, they just sort of did little moves. My other loser, and again, this might be a minor one, but the New Jersey Devils, I was just a little perplexed as to what their plan was. Like, do they think they're a playoff team, or are they punting? Because, you know, they trade away Tyler Toffoli, so it's like, okay, they're kind of mailing it in. That's understandable. They've had a bunch of injuries. But then they acquired Jake Allen. So it's like, oh, okay, so you are getting a goaltender. It's not Jacob Markstrom, but you are getting Jake Allen, and then, you know, they get Kaapo Kähkönen, so it's like, okay, well, that's another goaltender with potential and a young guy. So are you looking to the future, or are you looking at now? So it's a little perplexing to me.
Yeah, and the same sort of argument can be made about the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's like, are you a seller? Okay, yeah, you're selling on Jake Guentzel. And I guess you can speak more on just the prospects who came back, but I wasn't overly thrilled with, you know, getting Michael Bunting and three maybe middling prospects and a pick that, even if it's a first-round pick, it's going to be, what, 31st or 32nd overall. I didn't care for that move. And if you are going to sell, which you do in selling Guentzel, go all in and really start this rebuild, because, you know, it's basically a half measure from a team that needed to go all in. So they are a big loser for me.
Fair enough.
Hi, I'm Michael Trikos, Director of Digital Media, and check out my weekday column called The Morning Take, where I break down the NHL's hottest topics every morning, Monday to Friday, at thehockeynews.com.
We are now joined by Carolina Hurricanes team site editor Ryan Henkel. And Ryan, all eyes were on the Hurricanes. I guess late in the night before the trade deadline, Jake Guentzel, the big acquisition, coming to Carolina from Pittsburgh for a package of prospects and Michael Bunting. Just your initial reaction to what Jake Guentzel brings to this Hurricanes team.
I think it's everything Carolina has been looking for. I mean, you go back a couple of years, it's always the question is, do they have enough goal scoring? Was goal scoring enough? Could they do it? And now you go and get the best goal scoring, you know, option on the market in Jake Guentzel, a guy who scored 40 goals two times, a guy who's been a proven playoff performer. That 2017 Cup run was, you know, one of the better performances you'll see from players. I mean, this is a guy that's done it, and Carolina knows they have a window. They have all these good players. They just needed that extra oomph, and they did it. They went and got the guy that can help them do it, I believe.
Yeah. Well, they got more than just one oomph there, Ryan. They got a double oomph, as you will, getting Evgeny Kuznetsov as well. And not a bit of a surprise add, but you know what? Now you are pretty much set down the middle. And I guess we're going to figure out where Kuznetsov plays, if it's going to be with Gensel, or if it's going to be, I don't know.
Svechnikov?
Yeah, I guess Svechnikov is the other option on the left side. What was the feeling at practice when Kuznetsov joined the troops there?
It was a really excited atmosphere. I mean, it was crazy because he was in Charlotte earlier today. He had a morning skate with Hershey because they're going to be playing the Checkers. But, you know, the trade went through. So they sent the private Don Waddell, or Tom Dunnan's private jet went, picked him up, brought him back. 20 minutes into practice, all of a sudden, here's this guy coming running out of the locker room, starts hugging guys, hugging Rod Brendamore, smile and all that, gets in practice, gets tossed in there. So this is a guy that looks really, really excited to be back in the NHL, getting another opportunity. When we spoke to him in the locker room, he was really candid about it. He's called it this his last opportunity, his last chance. I think this is a guy that's really motivated to prove that he still has something to give. I mean, this is a guy who's multiple 70-plus point seasons. He that 2018 Cup run, another guy who kind of put the team on his back and really pushed forward. And if this is a guy, if they can get even a little bit of that spark of magic from Kuznetsov back to, you know, the player was maybe 2-3 years ago, the Carolina could do a lot, can do crazy things. Like you said, pairing with Gensel, pairing with Svechnikov. There's so many options for them, you know, with these new acquisitions that it's almost, you're like, what do you do with all these now?
Right. And real quickly, Ryan, Pittsburgh fans a bit agitated they didn't get any of Carolina's top prospects. How important do you think it was for them to hang on to the likes of Nikishin, Nadeau, Morrow?
I mean, that's huge. Carolina's whole thing is they want to build longevity. They don't want to be, you know, a team that gives up everything just to make a couple of runs. They want to be here for the long haul. So you have guys like Alexander Nikishin, who could be one of the top prospects outside of the, you know, NHL. You have Scott Morrow, another guy who could be a, you know, a top four option power play quarterback. You have all these guys that Carolina's really zoned in on these, you know, assets. They've marked them and they know that these could be future Hurricanes for a long time. So it's huge for Carolina to not only get a guy like Gensel that could help them push now, but to keep those top-end prospects that will keep this team good for a long time.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Ryan. And we will have more coming up. All right. So Carolina obviously gets the big fish. But I ask you, Michael, the Eastern Conference, what does it look like right now in terms of top contenders? Because Carolina, I don't want to say they have an easy path, but the Rangers are obviously also there in the Metro. But where do you see Carolina in the grand scheme of things in the Eastern Conference right now?
Well, heading into the deadline, the Rangers, well, look at the standings. They are the top team in the Metro right now. Mm. But after the deadline, Carolina is the team to beat for me going into the Metro. I think there's a team to beat in the East. And that's including what Florida did, what Boston has been all year, mm-hmm. and what Tampa did. I really like the Carolina additions. I love them getting Gensel. It's a game breaker. I think in the playoffs you need game breakers.
Right.
You need goaltending, but you need guys where if it's a 1-1 deadlock, you need your Gensel to be able to pot that one in. And the sneaky move for me is Kuznetsov.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just heard from Ryan Henkel, and you saw, like, and you just heard from how excited Kuznetsov is to be going there, hugging Rod Brindamore, just feeling like this is his last chance opportunity, and it probably is his last opportunity to stick in the NHL. So, you know, I'm almost feeling like Kuznetsov might be the bigger impact in the playoffs than Gensel is.
Well, it's interesting because we say this every year, but every year it's true. The Stanley Cup playoffs are a war of attrition.
Totally.
And if somebody goes down, particularly a center, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you've got this failsafe in Evgeny Kuznetsov. Like, maybe he doesn't start off as your second line center. Maybe he's more of a depth guy. But if you need him to move up, he can. And if he can help, you know, on the penalty kill, if he can help just because he is a tremendous playmaker, maybe he finds instant chemistry with somebody, whether it's Gensel, whether it's Andrei Svechnikov, where they just meld really well together, then that's like, it's like found money, basically.
Yeah, I think Svechnikov is going to love having Kuzi there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a comparison to be made between Svechnikov and Ovechkin, but, you know, let's face it, Svechnikov fought Ovechkin in that playoffs where, you know, basically got knocked out by Ovechkin.
Yeah.
So he does play that sort of game.
He's a power guy, and he's a shooter.
Yeah, he kind of runs guys over. Mm-hmm. So I could see that being the line mates there, where it's Svechnikov with Kuznetsov and then Aho with Gensel.
Mm.
either way, like whether they get jumbled up, whether Jordan Staal ends up playing ahead of Kuznetsov in the depth chart, doesn't matter. You just have more than enough weapons now.
Certainly. And you know, you also have a guy like Seth Jarvis that brings a lot to the table, and Jack Drury as well, so, and Martin Nethish as well. So a lot there. Goaltending, Freddie Anderson is back. We've been talking about this all year. You know, they didn't make any moves for goalies at the deadline. So is it Anderson, then Kochetkov? Is it whoever's hot at the time? What do you think they do?
I think you do what Vegas did, and you go, you know, whoever is hot at the time. And same thing with Florida. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that it was Alex Lyon, not Bobrovsky, that started the playoffs for the Panthers. And, you know, Bobrovsky got hot and never gave up the net. Same thing with Vegas. Like, they just... You have options, and when it comes to playoff goaltending, whether it's Kochetkov, and if he stays hot, that's fine. The fact that you got Freddie Anderson finally coming back from his blood clotting issues, I think is going to be huge. Right now, it looks like a three-headed monster, but you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey there, this is Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, and Future Watch is out now. Our annual look at NHL prospect pipelines. We have our cover story, the St. Louis Blues, and we rank the top 100 drafted prospects in hockey. So check it out now, thn.com/free or in your mailbox.
We are joined by Colorado Avalanche site editor Colleen Flynn. And Colleen, it was a busy week for the Colorado Avalanche. You know, they get Casey Mittelstadt, they get Sean Walker, they get Brandon Duhaime and Yakov Trenin. Thinking about what trades happened around the Colorado Avalanche, are you confident that this Avs team did enough heading into the playoffs now?
I believe they did. The important thing that they did was add depth. And Coach Bednar talked about how, you know, their Stanley Cup winning team was four lines deep, and that's what they've just done with a plethora of talent.
Now, Colleen, obviously Ryan Johansson was one of the big names that moved out. It feels like they kind of just did a roundabout swap for Casey Mittelstadt. You know, Ryan Johansson came in kind of a bargain tryout. Was it just a matter of the fit wasn't there, and they think that Casey Mittelstadt could be a slightly younger fit as that second line center behind Nathan MacKinnon?
Absolutely. Both Bednar and McFarland referred to Mittelstadt as having another level. So him coming in to play with guys like Nate MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen is really crucial to his career as well, being so young and being able to get into this system and learn with those guys how to play at that elite level. Ryan Johansson, I believe, he just didn't fit, unfortunately. It's unfortunate, but Mittelstadt's definitely the direction that they're looking to build.
And just real quick, is there any kind of latest news on Gabriel Landeskog? Are we getting closer to a potential return for him?
Coach was asked the other day about if there's a timeline he was on that could possibly bring him back in the playoffs, and his answer was yes. So as far as any sort of inclination, no updates. He was on the bench this morning for morning skate, as he tends to show up here and there.
All right. Well, it could be another addition for the Colorado Avalanche. Not that they needed it. A great trade deadline for the Avs. You can follow Colleen's work at thehockeynews.com. Thanks again, Colleen.
Thanks, guys.
That was great stuff from Colleen in regards to Casey Mittelstadt and the Colorado Avalanche, Ryan. And interesting question you asked there about Ryan Johansson, who, by all counts was fitting in with the Avs lineup, but you do get younger and you get a higher ceiling of potential with Mittelstadt. You were mentioning it to me right before we came on here, X factor. This guy could be that piece come playoff time where we're going, wow, that's making all the difference.
Yeah, and Middlestat's really interesting because when he was coming up with Buffalo, it was a bit of an up and down development path where maybe he came in a little early, didn't have immediate success, but the Sabres were also not a good team at the time. Totally. And we've seen some growth. We've seen him play some very good hockey. Now you transport him into a lineup led by Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen up front, with guys like Nichushkin as well, where, Middlestat obviously has a role and you want him to be that number two center, but there's less pressure on him. He also comes to what appears to be a very strong culture, right? Like Gabe Landeskog, he's been missing for like basically 2 years, but he's always at the rink.
Yeah.
Like that's great for a captain to do that. And then of course MacKinnon, famously driven, famously holds his teammates accountable. You've got Cale Makar on the back end who also gives you a lot of offense. So I'm really intrigued to see what Casey Middlestat can do in this Colorado lineup. And hey, I'm not saying it's going to work.
No.
That's why it's an X factor. Ryan Johansson, obviously there was a fit that wasn't there. I don't know, was it structural? Was he not, quick enough for the system that they were playing? Was it just a matter of, at his age versus Middlestat's age, it was a better fit? That's, that's an internal question for the Avs. But clearly, they saw a position, that number two center role, that they were not happy with. And they made a pretty big swing, which could be a very successful one. It could be middle of the road. It could not work. But I have to admire the Avs for taking a roster that looked pretty good on paper already, and they said, no, we've got moves that we need to make if we really want to get that second cup in 3 years.
Yeah, and you know what? To get Middlestat, you had to send Bowen Byram out the door. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, Bowen Byram was looking like almost the second coming of Cale Makar at one point.
Right.
Obviously, he hasn't stayed as healthy as you'd like him to, and he hasn't really taken that step where I don't think he's ever going to be Cale Makar, but even a Cale Makar light. But you do send him out the door, and it's a nice change of scenery for both guys. I think it's what everyone said. It's a hockey trade.
Yeah.
I also completely agree with you. I think Middlestat going to, I don't know, maybe Dallas, maybe Winnipeg, I wouldn't have been as excited.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned he goes into that culture. It's similar to like when guys go to Boston.
Right.
And it just seems to work. And you're like, why is it working for this guy? It's like, yeah, because Nate MacKinnon is going to put him on his diet.
Right.
And Cale Makar is not going to be joking around in the dressing room with him. It's going to be all business. So
yeah.
I love that move. The other moves I really like is getting Sean Walker on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a low-key add. Of all the defensemen we've seen move, and obviously Tanev goes to Dallas, Hanifin goes to Vegas, that's Sean Walker's not any of those guys. Well, let's ask you. Is Sean Walker a better addition than Chris Tanev to Dallas?
I mean, I'm a huge Chris Tanev fan, so I wouldn't go that far. But Sean Walker was having a great year with the Flyers. And from what I was hearing out of Philly, they loved him there.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a matter of Philly wanting to get rid of a guy, but it was more a case of, the Flyers saw, I think Walker's 29, if I'm not mistaken. You look at the Flyers, and by the time they were going to be contenders, Walker was going to be sort of out of his like prime window. So the timeline just didn't work up there. But, for the Avs, who are going for it right now, they're getting probably the best Sean Walker there's ever been, right? So it works out perfectly for them. And then kind of nice for Bo Byram, 2 points in his Buffalo debut last night.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to see, the Sabres getting a player that worked out right away for them. But yeah, I think, Sean Walker, good fit in the room. Like, he's clearly a good culture guy, and he's playing well on the ice. So a nice little fit there for them. I when I heard them trade Bo Byram, I was like, ooh, that's steep.
Yeah, I almost thought he was going to be an untouchable for them.
Yeah, but you make these different moves where Sean Walker comes in. So really, you're saying to yourself, Ryan Johansson and Bo Byram go out, Casey Middlestat and Sean Walker come in. Is that an upgrade if you're the Avs? And clearly they thought it was.
And not only is it an upgrade, is it enough to keep you ahead of Dallas and Winnipeg? Because you got to remember, these moves do not happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Like Dallas, their biggest move obviously is getting, like we mentioned, Tanev. Winnipeg, they got Sean Monahan a while ago. Then they add Tyler Toffoli, some pretty big adds. I'm circling Colorado. That's the team to beat out of the Central. And for me, that's you know, out of the West, that's the team to beat.
Yeah,
I know Vegas has got something to say about it.
I was going to say, my head is kind of swimming right now because I look at Vegas. But then I look at Dallas and Winnipeg have the goalies, right? Colorado and Vegas, I mean, they have pretty good goalies. But Hellebuck and Ottinger are, to me, two of the best in the league. And Dallas has always been a great defensive team. They also have offensive weapons. Winnipeg, you know, we've seen that structure with Rick Bonus. So it's going to be like such a dogfight. And we haven't even talked about Edmonton or Vancouver.
Okay. Well, after the break, let's talk about Edmonton and Vancouver and some other trades that are happening.
Hey there, everybody. This is Ryan Kennedy, editor-in-chief of the Hockey News, and I have a new web column, Future Watch Weekly, that you should keep an eye out for. Every week, I look at the developmental world of hockey from NCAA, Major Junior, all points in between. So check it out every Friday morning at THN.com. We are joined now by Toronto Maple Leafs site editor David Alter, who is on the road making moves all the time. And David, let's start with the Leafs deadline. It wasn't a blockbuster deadline by any stretch of the imagination, but Joel Edmondson, Connor Dewar, they certainly got a little harder to play against, but was it enough in your mind?
I think it was appropriate. I don't know if it was necessarily enough, but I don't think the Leafs were really dealing with a position of feeling like they needed to do more. Like it certainly is underwhelming if you look at what Kyle Dubas did over the last couple of years, especially last year when he dealt two first-round picks to really change about one-third of the roster and really add up depth. But, you know, the Leafs took a little bit of time in terms of finding their game. And then even after they found their game, there's been some holes in it. And because of that slow start, the Leafs really had to prove themselves, okay, where are they really? What do they need to do? And can they learn something from last year? I actually remember looking at the underlying stats from last season when they did revamp their roster at the deadline. And I found that they actually played worse when they added a lot of these guys. And so I wonder if that is one of those things where, you know what, if you finally found your game, tinkering makes more sense than doing a bit of an overhaul with everything outside of your core players. And so I think Brad Treliving said it best when we asked him a couple weeks ago about his approach to the deadline, about if the winning streak changed the approach or anything. He said, we're not going to be able to address all the issues at the deadline. And I certainly think that based on his moves here today, that was the case.
Yeah, well, the positive, if you are a Leaf fan, is you hang on to your first-round pick this year. You didn't trade Nick Robertson. You didn't trade Easton Cowan or Fraser Minton or Matthew Nyes or even Niemla. Like, you're hanging on to the future. And if you don't believe this Toronto Maple Leafs team is ready to, you know, contend for a cup this year, at least you didn't waste the future. Do you agree with that statement there, Dave?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, it was already starting to look pretty bare in the cupboard this year when you looked at, okay, who can come up? And then you looked at the fact that they don't have a second round pick until 27, actually. And then at that point, okay, well, where are you going to really develop? And then you have prospects, but do you have defensive prospects? There really has to be some sort of point where you have your core guys, but you have to be stocking up the cupboards and developing the prospects as well. And certainly they've got some front end guys like the ones you've mentioned, but if they were going to really get a blue chipper on the back end, they really kind of had to start looking at building and developing and drafting. And I would be shocked going into this season with their first round pick if they do not pick a defenseman. I think there's going to be a change here where, you know, outside of Timothy Liljegren, Rasmus Sandin's gone, but outside of Morgan Rielly now, you really haven't developed a blue chip defenseman. And I think that's really going to be a focus under Brad Treliving's Maple Leafs here going forward.
Right on. All right. Well, safe driving, David. And thanks for doing this.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Okay, so a lot of good stuff there from David Alter. Michael, I posed the question to you. We're looking like we're going to have another Toronto-Boston first-round series. That's kind of the most likely scenario at this point, I would say.
Seems inevitable every year.
Seems inevitable. Boston just beat the Leafs twice in a row. I believe it was 4-1 both times.
Swept the entire series.
Swept the series. Yeah. That's right, swept the season. So Leafs get Joel Edmondson. They get Connor Dewar, guys that are hard to play against. Bruins didn't do a lot. Got Andrew Peak, sort of more of a depth guy. Did the Leafs do enough to hypothetically win this inevitable seven-game series that's probably going to be the first round?
End of the day, regardless of what Bradshaw Living did at the deadline, it's always going to come down to the core four, or core five, if you want to include Morgan Rielly. So, you know, if the Leafs are going to get past the Bruins or do what they did last year and get to the second round, and, you know, if you're a Leaf fan, you hope it goes further than that, it's up to Auston Matthews, it's up to Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares, and Morgan Rielly. If those guys don't show up, it really doesn't matter. What I like about the Boston Bruin game is that, you know, the Leafs played physical. You saw Max Domi, you know, roughing it up with Charlie McAvoy. You saw Jake McCabe, you know, he gets fined for a cross-check, but I think if you're a Leaf fan, that's what you like to see. And you saw Tyler Bertuzzi just filling in.
Just wail on Parker Weatherspoon.
Yeah, and Parker Weatherspoon ends up with a nice raise after that.
Right.
So, you know, the Bruins, you know, didn't do much. I know they were. There was rumors floating out there whether they were going to trade Linus Ullmark. There was talk that they were going to be in a three-way trade at one point with Elias Lindholm going from Vancouver to Boston, and then Gensel going to Vancouver. None of those things happened. And I think if you're a Toronto fan, you're breathing a sigh of relief because, you know, had the Boston Bruins ended up trading Ullmark to the Kings for a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois, and again, that was just a rumor. Mm-hmm. We don't know if that was any truth to that. You know, that's when you're a little worried about the Leafs because then you're going, oh, another shutdown guy that, you know, could clamp down and prevent Auston Matthews from going off.
Right. Now, one acquisition that the Bruins did make that we haven't mentioned yet is Pat Maroon.
Yeah.
So how does he change the complexion of this series other than a dance partner for Ryan Reeves?
I think that's all it is. Pat Maroon ain't the same scary Pat Maroon that he was when he was going to championship after championship. Mm-hmm. This isn't the vintage St. Louis Blues Pat Maroon. He's still a factor, and I think he's still a guy that, you know, can make life uncomfortable for the Stars. But, you know, again, if you're looking at just pure talent, I think it's going to come down to, is Boston's top players better than Toronto's top players?
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I've been saying this for a long time. The moves that Bradshaw Living initially made in the offseason, Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, Ryan Reeves, I'm discounting John Klingberg because he's been hurt basically the whole time. They weren't regular season moves. They were playoff moves.
Totally.
And I think, you know, as you mentioned, Domi and Bertuzzi going off in that game against Boston. And then, of course, you know, Reeves being that nuclear option against Pat Maroon. Those are the moves, I think. You know, I mean, Edmondson and Dewar are going to be in that mix as well because they're tough to play against.
Yep.
But it felt like that. It's now a culmination of picks and, sorry, of moves for a Toronto-Boston or even Toronto-Florida if that ends up happening. That's what those summer moves were all about.
And it's starting to kind of form too, Ryan. Like you see Bertuzzi and Domi are looking like they're gelling together on a line with William Nylander. That wasn't happening a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already sort of in that playoff mode. And I think that Boston game really showed you a glimpse of, oh, this is how Toronto's going to be playing in the playoffs. Granted, it didn't lead to a winning result. But, you know, if you're Bradshaw Living, I think that's the perfect game where you're going, okay, maybe I don't need to make a move.
Yeah, all right. Great stuff there.
Hi, I'm Michael Trikos, Director of Digital Media, and check out my weekday column called The Morning Take, where I break down the NHL's hottest topics every morning, Monday to Friday, at thehockeynews.com. Well, Ryan, it is time for rapid fire.
Yes.
Producer Connor, I'm sure you've got some really, really fun questions considering it's a trade deadline special rapid fire.
Yeah, nobody's tired here at all.
No.
let's I've done it so far at every quarter mark. We've officially passed the quarter mark, but I thought I'd wait until after the deadline because a lot can change. So I want your updated Stanley Cup predictions.
Ooh.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to ride or die with my all barbecue final. Carolina Hurricanes, they had a great deadline, yep. Right? And the Dallas Stars, they got their work done early, getting Chris Tanev. Mm-hmm. I still really like what the Stars have been doing. Logan Stankoven, obviously, has been the latest young player to make his mark. But they also have guys like Wyatt Johnston and Thomas Harley, that sort of next generation, on top of your Rupe Hintzes, your Jason Robertsons, your Miro Heskinens, and the old guard. And they got Jake Ottinger in net. So I'm going to stick with it, you know? I'm not going to overthink this. Carolina, Dallas.
I'm going the Rangers from the East and Vegas from the West. I'll say Golden Knights over the Rangers. You know, the Rangers, we didn't talk really much about them. They got Wenberg, and who else did they get?
Roslovic.
Roslovic,
and they also got Ruedel.
Yeah, right. Jack Roslovic is, you know, I don't know if he's going to play center or the wing, but that's a great addition, I think, for them. Another depth winger or depth forward, and I love their goaltending. But I still think Vegas is going to win back-to-back. And I thought at the beginning of the season, and I'm kind of sticking with it.
Fair enough.
It's hard to go against Vegas after those additions they've made. All right, let's get into the day specifically. Who was your favorite ad of the day?
Ooh. Like, yeah, because, I mean, Gensel was the big one.
I'm going to go Kuznetsov. Yeah, I'll just jump right in. I really like this addition. I didn't expect him to get traded. I thought he was going to just be buried in the minors this season. So the fact that he's going to Carolina, you know, we said it when we were on with Ryan Henkel. I just love this addition. I remember Kuznetsov from that 2018 Cup run. He was a force out there. And, you know, seeing the clips of him practicing, he looks ecstatic. He looks like reborn. So if you're getting the best of Kuznetsov, watch out. That Carolina Hurricanes is going to be a juggernaut.
Right on. I'll go Tyler Toffoli in Winnipeg. You know, it wasn't the
most. That's a good one, yeah.
It wasn't the biggest deal, but, like, you look at the Jets, and it's just that extra little guy to add on where he's a goal scorer, he's a clutch guy, and he's a playoff guy, and, you know.
Seems happy to be back in Canada, according to his quotes, too.
Yeah, exactly. Loves playing, you know, in a Canadian market. So that was like a nice, I felt like that was a nice treat for a Jets team that has been fantastic pretty much all season.
And then he might even suit up next to Sean Monahan. So another kind of below-the-radar addition that they made weeks before the deadline.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I got to go Zach Parise. Fourth-round pick or whatever it was, very low cost. I like it. All right. What was the most lopsided trade of the day? And I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, the Thomas Hertl Vegas San Jose trade was
an easy one.
Baffling. And again, you know, like when the trade first came out and we thought that San Jose was getting the third rounders on top of the first rounder and David Edstrom, it's like, all right, it's not great, but whatever. And then to find out that San Jose's giving up the third rounders and retaining salary, it's like I don't understand the logic. So that one's the obvious one for me.
Yeah, for me, I think I'm going to go back to Pittsburgh. I know you have to trade Jake Gensel. I'm guessing that the market for him was a lot smaller than we were led to believe, because I was very underwhelmed with the result or the return. You know, the picks are the picks. The prospects are the prospects. But, you know, if it had been a Seth Jarvis or Martin Nekash, not a Michael Bunting going the other way, I think this changes everything. You know, Bunting is whatever he is, but if I'm Sidney Crosby, I am not happy with Kyle Dubas right now.
Fair enough.
All right. What was the weirdest trade of the day?
Ooh.
Weirdest trade of the day. Oh, I would say probably the Vitek Vanacek for Kaapo Kähkönen. San Jose, New Jersey deal, where you got two goaltenders that have struggled. You know, Kakinen's got more upside, but New Jersey had already traded for Jake Allen. And if you're San Jose, it's like, do you think Vanacek makes you better?
I don't know that.
Like, yeah, that one just felt like you were, of all the goalies we thought were going to get moved in different places, those were two where we talked about Kakanen, not so much about Vanecek, because it was like, based on how he's played this year, who would want him? Apparently San Jose.
Yeah, for me, it was Jake Allen. I know Jersey needs a goaltender, but if you're not going to get the goaltender you want and really need, why are you going out and getting Jake Allen?
Mm-hmm.
Just stick with what you got.
Right.
I don't know. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
And then they said, how dare you? We will make two goalie trades.
Yeah, so maybe it's just like they just want a fresh start at the back end.
Maybe.
Yeah, they seem to think that they could still go big game hunting in the offseason, so maybe in Jake Allen, Jacob Markstrom tandem, anybody?
Maybe, or maybe Allen goes the other way. Who knows?
Yeah. Lots of fun is going to happen this offseason. Final question. It's not really a question. It's more pointing out how wrong both of you were on Tuesday.
Fair.
You both said under for the number of trades that would happen on deadline day. It was very much over. Over 20, actually. It was a fair amount. Are you surprised by how many deals went down today? And what are your thoughts on how incorrect you were?
Yeah. It's rare for me to be incorrect, so I'm not sure how to respond. No, I think at the end of the day, we saw teams like Nashville kind of reward their players for a job well done. So, you know, the Jason Zucker trade, for example, was a good, good one there. So I think we saw more, instead of bubble teams reaching, we saw good teams kind of like cashing in, even if it wasn't big deals. And of course, there was those trades where we're like, why did that happen? So there were some active teams that made puzzling moves, but they all count, right?
Yeah, I was surprised because we saw so much activity in the days or even weeks leading up to the deadline. Like, we forget, like, the biggest trade still might end up being Elias Lindholm going from Calgary to Vancouver.
Right.
Or... you know,
Noah
Hanifin goes before the deadline. Obviously, Jake Guentzel went right before midnight Eastern time. So that was a big one that didn't actually technically happen on deadline day. Obviously, the Thomas Hertl one, though. That one just took everyone by surprise. And again, minutes before the actual deadline for that one to drop. Huge, huge get by the Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm still kind of, my head is spinning. I know this is the aftermath of everything.
Yeah.
And I should have been used to it by now, but... yeah, it still blows me away.
All right, last question that I just came up with on the spot.
You have another question? I thought that was the last one.
No, I got one more.
One more.
One more.
Okay.
Who are you most surprised wasn't traded?
For me, I guess it would be Jacob Markstrom. Yeah.
Okay.
If it's not Markstrom, then it was one of those guys that had terms. So, you know, I was holding out hope that it maybe a Jacob Chychrun would have got traded. Even a Trevor Zegras. Yeah, that would have been dynamite.
You're Alex Barabanov. Everyone said he was going to go to a playoff contender.
Go.
He didn't. And Nick Bukestad.
Barabanov or Buchnevich.
Buchnevich as well.
Yeah. Listen, that's all the time we've got. Thanks to NorthlandHockey.com as well as BetMGM. This was the Hockey News pregame show. See you next time at the rink.